Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. I am Janine Vosper, your host, and I have with me Carolina Montanez. Have I pronounced that correctly, Carolina?
Beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you. So Carolina is the National Sales Manager for Plane to Sea International. So that is an Australian-owned and operate international freight forwarding company, and it is proudly all female founder. You can understand why I wanted to have a conversation with Carolina. Carolina initially came to Australia to complete her Master's of Business in International Marketing at UTS, and she met her now best friends and family at a previous job. And we're going to investigate this a lot more, because it is an impressive step from studying to what you do now, and I'm going to love hearing about it, and I'm sure the listeners are. Welcome, Carolina.
Thank you so much for the invitation. We are, as Plane to Sea and myself, very honored to be invited to talk to you about what we have done for the last 12 years.
That's it. So, I mean, from university to now being a founder of an international freight forwarding company, that in a 12-year period, that's a big step to be able to do that. Was your background in that, or?
Well, I did study in international freight. So we always joke about it in the office that international freight is nothing that you aspire to be. You don't tell your mom and dad when you're 5 years old, I want to be a freight forwarder, because
it doesn't
appear. So, but when I was at university back in Colombia, I needed to do my internship, and I ended up in an international freight forwarding company doing marketing and just learning a little bit about the business portion. They saw something in me that I could probably keep working with them. So I actually worked with them for a further 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then I just moved to work on the international chamber of a Chinese / Colombia international chamber, where I did a little bit of work with Chinese companies wanting to invest in Colombia, but I wanted a little bit more. So I decided to go overseas, or to investigate the opportunity to go overseas and not only learn a second language, or but also do a further studies. And that's how I started here at UTS in Sydney a long time ago. I don't even remember the year. I think it's 2005. And when I came here, I contacted the same company that I was working with in Colombia, because it was a multinational company. And they were very nice to give me the opportunity to start doing some job or some work during my uni days. So, you know, as a student, you come and you can only work 20 hours. And that's how I started in international freight here in Sydney. Just fast forward about 2 years after that, I met my family, my best friend, Anna, who is one of the directors of Plane to Sea now. We all met in a previous company. The four of us were working in a previous company. That company unfortunately disappeared and went under 13 years ago. Mm-hmm. But the four of us, Anna, Jody, Nikki, and myself, had such a good working / friendship relationship that we wanted to keep that. So obviously we started looking for jobs for the four of us, but there is no company that is going to employ four people at the same time. And one night we were just talking, chatting, and our husbands were there, or Anna and Jody's husbands were there. And they just encouraged us, say, you have everything, you're the four pillars, because Jody does all the operational side. Anna has a lot of experience and in getting agents overseas. I was doing sales and customer service, and Nikki was doing the accounts. So we started talking, saying those are the four pillars of a company. Why don't we just give it a go? And with the support of them and a lot of people, we decided to take this leap of faith and believe in each other, and the rest is history. We've been doing it for 12 years.
That's quite amazing. You know, quite a few things in there. One is, you know, looking at opportunities outside your own country, which is always a huge step when you're leaving your family and friends and doing something different in a different language. Could you speak English before you arrived in Australia?
I thought I did. I always study, and I always like to learn another language, but I thought I was like, yeah, English, I can get it. And then I landed in Australia, and I met the immigration in at the airport, and I was like, oh no, I have so much to learn. And I learn American English, so this is such a big difference between the American and the Australian English.
Absolutely.
But you know, just you adventure to a new country. My parents helped me to come here, and then as soon as I find a job, I could you know, keep going and stand on my own two feet. And yeah, it was hard, and learning. I made myself. I committed to myself not to spend too much time with people that speak Spanish. That's gonna sound so, not so good, but I needed to remove myself from that environment in order to learn English and to develop like the opportunity to talk and to communicate here. So that was a huge yeah, that was huge.
That and congratulations, because English is definitely not one of the easiest languages to
And
learn.
Australian
And
English
Australian
is.
English is different again. And then there's all the little colloquialisms that Australians use that most people who are coming to the country have no, and even English speaking people who come to the country have no idea what we're
Absolutely.
talking about.
I even joked with Nikki, one of the girls that started Plenty-C, because her husband is real Australian. And he's been I have known him for like 15, 16 years, and he still speaks, and sometimes I'll just get lost in translation. But yeah, but everybody's been what I like the most about coming here to learn the language is that people actually understand you. That you don't speak the language, and it's the attitude that you have as a person. Yes, I made mistakes. I still do, writing emails, even speaking now with you. I may not put sentences the right way, but people are very understanding that I'm coming from a different background, and they're happy to support you and to help you. So that was one of the reasons why I fell in love with Australia.
Yeah, e excellent. And one of the things that Australians tend to do is run all their words together, and it's
Yes.
really it becomes a mumble, but it really isn't a mumble. It's just that every word is connected to the previous word, and it's very hard to. I do feel I work with quite a few people where English isn't the first language, and it is very difficult for them to try and understand when each word is not said separately. So I feel for you and for your friends, understanding your friend's husband when it's very ochre. Now, I love that you had the support of, you know, your husband and the other husbands and that as well. It's not that we women need that support, but gee, it makes life easier when you've got that encouragement and
That
backing.
encouragement, and especially when we started Plenty-C, both Jody and Anna, I wasn't married at the time. Both husbands needed to say, well, I'll support you. And when you start a business, you just put everything that you have in the business. So as a family, you need to make a huge commitment, especially financially, to you know, not being able to sometimes to earn as much as you could when you were working for somebody else. And it's nice to be able to have that support. and make it makes our it made it much easier, especially for them and for everybody. This that support and that you can do it, that somebody believes in you. Especially sometimes, as I don't know if it happens to a lot of people, it happens to me a lot of the times. I second guess myself, and sometimes you just need the support, somebody to tell you, you know what, you can do it. Like, just give it a go, and I'm here for you. And to hear that from your family or from your friends, or even I tell my clients that you can do it. When they call me and they say, I don't know, Carolina, if I can do this, and it's like, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? Let's put it in perspective, and that's how we push each other, and we are all connected in that way. That's how I see it.
I love that you're saying, you know, what's the worst thing that could happen? Because there's a lot of things that hold us back that aren't life-threatening. They're just fear of what usually other people will think of us, more so than even that fear of what if I fail? Because it's
I
not
agree.
what if I fail, it's what if I fail and what will other people think of me? It comes
I
back to that.
agree. I agree. I completely agree. And I find that, especially coming from another country, coming here to study on another language, and with everything that I have done in my life, I just realized that the biggest obstacle that we have is us, and it's us putting that second guessing and that doubt in our head. That doubt doesn't allow us to sometimes to make decisions that could change our life in a good way. But having that network, or having somebody just being whispering in your ear saying you can do it, that just kind of is a little bit like the little evil, like the angel and the devil in our shoulders. That's how I see it.
I ab absolutely. And having, you know, the four of you, that makes a big difference, doesn't it? There's a most women when they're starting out in business, that it's all on their own back and they're doing everything themselves. And that collaboration is so important, or having support, whether it's through networking or masterminds or what it is, that you've got somebody that you can feed to and feed off to keep that positive and momentum, and am I making the right decisions?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And for us, the four of us, when we started the business, we didn't even have an office. We started from nothing. We just went and got the cheapest laptops that we could get, and we didn't have a desk. So we literally started this business sitting on the floor. And we actually have a picture of us sitting on the floor, because that's where we started. And slowly, slowly, we started building from there. But that made us even tighter. We were tight before, but going through the struggles to start a business and to go and get business is, for me to go out there and talk about freight and talk about business is, I'm helping business for my four girlfriends' family. So we're feeding four families from our efforts. So it's that was what kept us going and making sure that we were okay to try to make it happen for us.
Now, I hadn't thought of that when you're working with somebody else, but that does make a big difference. When I was GM of sales for a large first aid supply company, and I felt my role was very much to make sure that sales came in, that way everyone can stay employed and the company can grow. And it was that space for me. If I didn't do my job well, then that was affected. And that's very much what you're saying. But because it's friends and you know it's all part of the business, it's even more of that commitment, isn't it? It's because, okay, we've got to make this succeed. So instead of just being the pressure on your back as a sole trader, going, okay, well, I'll try as hard as I possibly can, and well, if it doesn't work, the only person it affects is me. Whereas when you're working with others, you've got that extra incentive for it to be successful. I love that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's how we that's the way. Well, I'm very much like you on sales, being in sales for all this time. I used to think, well, I'm out there, I'm meeting clients, I'm the person that is pretty much, let's call it, bringing the bacon to the office. But when we started the business, I realized that my job is as important as the operational job, because while I bring it, it's their responsibility to keep it. And therefore, there has to be a unified mentality that we are feeding each other. We are bringing everything for our families to come down to buying the basic or paying for the basic or having education for our kids. So if that's that extra fire that is that gets me going every day, because I'm doing it for people that I love, and that's even much better. And that's why I think that we have a very powerful story to inspire women that are working women to get out there and to give it a go, because we did it and we're happy working with our friends and developing this company that we love so much.
Yeah, that's doing it for people you love. I just, and that statement is got so much in it. And that's the same now, you know, thinking a sole trader, a woman who is out there, you know, getting up every day, and you're in sales. I've been in sales for 40 something years. It's a tough gig, because you've got to motivate yourself every day to you know, make new connections and however that works for you. But you've got to be motivated. And I had this discussion with somebody for years, and I've been in position, and I do it now, whereas a lot of roles are moving paper from one its place to the other, you know, if you know what I mean. It's very much I've got to get this done, and once it's done, it's finished. And we often in our business step into those sort of roles because sales is hard and fearful. So we'll go into the, I'll call it moving paper. It's not disrespectful to people whose job is in admin or anything, but go into that role of moving paper instead of getting out there and creating business, because it is uncomfortable and it is not, it's not an easy thing to do. But without sales in your business, there's not much use moving paper anyway, because business doesn't exist.
That's right. I absolutely right. Finding yourself the motivation every day is probably one of the hardest jobs as a sales rep. And being out in sales, you get 10,000 rejections every day. So it's to have that shield, that hard shield to say, you know what, okay, you say no, that's fine, move on. And that's when I go back, probably I want to take it back to the, what is the worst thing that could happen? Whenever I have a new person starting with us in sales or anything, and I tell them, you have to do cold calling, what if they say no? What is the worst thing that could happen? They don't even know you. You know, that you just trying, okay, no, okay, perfect, next, or next time, or in 6 months. That's not a problem. And finding that everyday motivation is definitely hard, dealing with everything else that you're dealing inside of the company and outside of the company. But when, as I said, when we have that motivation that you're doing it for people that you love, people that have been in your life, and people that, you know, Jody was my bridesmaids when I got married. I lived with Anna for a few months while I was getting into my new place. It's just a different dynamics. I just pretty much, I can definitely say that I work with my three sisters.
Yeah, that's really lovely. And the part you brought about saying no, you know, that was one of the things I used to teach my reps. You know, it's a no until you ask anyway.
Yes,
and I had one rep, he was amazing, and he would say, he never drives past a sale. He'll always go into a business and ask. because it is, and that's something, you know, from the conversation, just people to think about who are listening, that is, it's a definite no, because if you don't ask.
Exactly. If you don't ask, you don't know. And that's it. And once you know, you can move on to the next one.
So tell me a little bit about what Plane to See International does, just so that we're clear on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, International Freight Forwarding, pretty much moving any type of cargo from A to B, both inbound and outbound, both air freight and sea freight. So we get involved. We are involved with several industries like fashion, jewelry, mining, food, pretty much I remember, and it's a funny story, when I met my husband and I told him what I was doing, he was very confused about international freight. He was like, what is that? But once I explained to him, he said, I always went to the shops and I always bought stuff and I never thought about how do they get here. I just go and get them from the shops. But we are pretty much the little elves between Santa Claus and the shops. That's how I see it.
I love that. And I think we've learned over the last couple of years, I think everyone's got a very good understanding of freight
Right.
not getting to this country because of,
Absolutely,
particularly how
because of
far
COVID.
away we are from everything
From
and
everywhere.
everywhere.
That's how I the last couple of years have been really, really demanding and really hard for our industry. But what I love, or what I think, talking of the positive stuff of COVID, there is more awareness of about what we do. Before COVID, people or some clients will think, well, it's moving perfectly. But we just depend on so many factors that we can control. We depend on weather, we depend on closures. When COVID hits and all of a sudden all the airports were closed, we couldn't move any freight. But people weren't aware of the big implications of these situations that we have no control of. It has made clients more aware of what is out there. It has made them more a little bit smarter about their planning, and just to pretty much plan for the unknown, which is really hard. But understand as well that everybody has to allow themselves a little bit more time at the moment. And after everything that we have gone through for the last 3 years, production is delayed. We have so many delays from the factory to the end. But that's what we hear, and that's what I think as Plain to See International, we're trying for everybody to make sure that our client understands and that and feels that we are behind him or her every step of the way, and we don't let them uninform, or we don't let them in the lurch. Like we try to be there and be that security blanket that they need sometimes.
No, that and that's brilliant to do that. And what you said about planning for the unknown, and that's something that I think all of us have had to do. Well, how do we do that? And we've recognized over the last few years that we may need to put other contingencies in place, and just in case, and not just for product coming in, but how do we deliver our services or our products when you can't open a shop door or you. You know, you can't walk outside your home, you know. So that's really made a big difference on how people see and do things now. I'm hoping that people have continued to, okay, so that didn't work during that period of time. Let me have some great ideas. Oh, I put this in place. Oh, we're back to doing things as they were. Oh, maybe I don't need those things anymore, but I'm hoping people still think about that contingency or adapting. You know, if it's a service, maybe you've gone online. If it's what, how can you do this differently? Sourcing local products instead, or you know, that type of thing. When you don't know what's going to happen.
Absolutely, 100%. I agree with you, and I can just say that everything that happened during the COVID years, it was very what I call reactive management. We were just, doing whatever we could to survive. But hopefully, we can now learn from what we live and just put little strategies around, or just think outside the square on what we can do, and maybe that will work. We will never know if we will be in that position again. Hopefully we not, but at least we have already lived in it, and I felt like it was like living in a world war, in a different scale, being scared and not knowing what's happening. But in business, it taught us a lot about what we needed to do. We needed to be much more flexible. I think like most companies, We set up everybody to work from home. And we became a little bit more more online driven, or not having so much paper around, for both, you know, the environment and for the flexibility. So I think that it was a very good learning curve for all businesses.
Yeah, most definitely. And just to sort of moving forward, how you've gone over the last 12 years with four female founders. I mean, women, we tend to, you know, put our family first and looking after others. And for you, for the four of you still creating this business, how the balance between that, have you made special allowances for, you know, because it's a female workforce as well? Or?
We'll definitely need to be more flexible. And at the moment we have a lot of women or moms that work with us, and they work mom hours, which is fine. But then we understand and we like to have moms working for us, because even though they have a pressure of the house, I just see that they really, really put the hard work in the hours that are there. Maybe because obviously we are compensating, or we working only between these hours, so we need to do as much as possible. For us, for the four of us, I think that what helped us a lot in growing the business, where we were growing our families, is that the four of us are in very different stages of our lives. We have somebody that has their kids already in uni and they were grown up. Well, for example, for Jody, when we started the business, she fell pregnant shortly after. And we have to deal with that. And the way that we deal with that is that we converted one of the offices into a nursery. So she actually brought her two kids, because she fell pregnant again shortly after. Nice. We have the kids, and a million times I will be on the phone with a client and I'll have little Asen or little Leah next to me, just keeping me company, or feeding him, or whoever was available. We changed nappy, and we just find that we just make do. We just figure it out, and then we just figure it out. But in terms of making allowances, we just always supportive of each other, and that's when we just need to. The success of Plenty.ca has been that we do understand what the other women are going through. We do have men as well, and men go through stuff as well. Yeah. We have two wonderful males working for us, or with us at the moment. But we just need to understand, and we all understand, that we've been there, done that, and we just need to accommodate to a certain extent for everybody in any time. So that's what we have done. There's always, you know, as long as you talk and you just don't be afraid to come. We always tell all our girls, don't be afraid, just come and tell us what you need and we'll figure it out.
And that's obviously the culture that you have promoted and built within your business. And I suppose that friendship and affection for each other is demonstrated in the business, because, you know, you will ask a lot of women about working with other women, and usually it's not a favorable response to that. It's congratulations on creating a culture where it's supported and people can feel like they can have a voice and opinion without, you know, feeling that somebody is going to persecute them because they want something for themselves and have the capacity to speak up.
Yeah, I think that in saying that, what we agreed on is that, and there've been people that have come and gone, because they didn't fit our culture, and our culture is, and sometimes I agree. Sometimes when I hear people like work mainly with women in the office. Oh my God, that must be like really hard, because we have, you know, we people in the world think that some people think that if you're a woman working and there's mainly women around you, that you have fights, and it's like a cat fight all the time, and that time of the month and blah blah blah. But I just really, we really sit down and say we're not going to tolerate any of that. The moment that we see that something that we don't like or somebody that is not the right fit, obviously we talk to them, we give them the opportunities that they have to make it in the business. But we have also have to, you know, say goodbye to people that are not agreeing with our culture, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. We just need to make sure that at the end of the day, between 8:30 and 5, we're running a business. And that's what it needs to happen.
Yeah. And for this, you know, a woman that's thinking of starting out in a unique field, that's something a little bit off center, or anyone starting out in a business, what tips would you give them?
I think that, and I said that to a lot of people or a lot of women thinking, I've been contacted by a million people. But a lot of women saying, I'm on maternal leave, I don't know what to do. This is my idea. And I always tell them, do your research and surround yourselves with people that know. I think that for us, we, especially with women, we think that we can manage absolutely everything because that's what we do. We do family, we do kids, we do work, we do everything. But what I have learned, especially in the last few years in business, is if you don't know, somebody will know. And that somebody probably, yes, they probably gets paid to know, but you can reach out to that person and utilize what they know and their services. So don't be afraid to reach out to networks. Don't be afraid to reach out to people that may give you an advice. And sometimes I feel that having an advice from a completely stranger, in theory, is much better than having a comment or an advice for somebody that has known you for 20 years, because they will give you a different perspective. So that will be my tip.
Yeah, and that's great, because and just recognizing who you're taking advice from, you know, it's not the local butcher, it's somebody that has been there, done that, and has the runs on the board, and that's their field of expertise, and absolutely, to follow and start actually looking at those people and following them and seeing what they're doing and how they're achieving.
Absolutely, absolutely. I actually have a beautiful story that is one of our clients, and I can say that she's my friend now. She sent me a message on Facebook saying, I have been following you, I have seen where you are, we're part of a couple of networks. And she said, I just had a baby, I was made redundant from my job, and I'm thinking about starting a job, a new business, and I need international freight. What do you think? And we got on the phone and we talk, and it took a good 6 months for her to get her hair around what international freight is and what she has done. And now her business is a little bit over 2 years, and we have bringing the first little carton to the first, LCL, which is less than a container load, and now she moved into from her garage, she's now moved to a warehouse where she can start. And all of this has happened in a period of a couple of years, and to be part of that, from I may have an idea to being that is very nice to see. And that's why we do what we do,
and that's it's so great seeing people achieve what they dream they can. And what you said at the beginning was, you didn't think as a 5-year-old you're going to say to your mother, I want to be a freight forwarder. But it's not about that, is it?
It's not about that.
That's the skill base that you have and with your business partners, but that's not what it's about.
Absolutely. It's about following what a lot of things, even the craziest idea, or even just following a gut feeling. I feel that I could be here, and then from there, something so beautiful can start. So I totally agree with that. It's about who you are and what do you want to do, and what capabilities you have, what abilities you have to do that.
Mm. Yeah, and that's the important thing, isn't it? And to back yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All the time.
Ladies, we don't do that enough. We don't believe that. I met this woman on the weekend, and I've known her through a friend for quite a long time, and she's a chef, and she started then saying about all these things that are coming up for her, and a major supermarket retail chain has got her doing some things, and she's been asked to be the chef out at a country, I was going to say fair, but that's not right, bigger than that, at one of the country towns, and it just she just lit up with all of the things that she's got the opportunity to do. That belief in herself, she said, is just really starting to come through, and she's been doing it for such a long time, and it was just wonderful to see her. The things were coming into place for her, and she was getting the results. And
Absolutely.
her thing was just sharing food with people. That's what she wants to do, is be able to share good food.
Absolutely. And that's her passion. That's her, she wants to share food because that's a way for her to share her love. I can cook. I do the same boring dinners every night. So I would love to meet her and learn a little bit more or be fed by her. But that's it. She has that passion. I have that passion about me personally. I like to talk to people and be feel that I make a little bit of a difference with what I do. And that's when I can honestly say that most of my clients become my friends because you end up talking. Sometimes I get calls, and they're not about business, or they're 2 minutes about business, and then we start getting talking about life and what's happening. But by me giving them my ears, it will make a difference. That's how I see it.
Oh, I'm totally with you, Carolina. I when I was in the GM role, and just in my own business, definitely, but when I was in that role, I would get off the phone and I, turn around to the office team and say, I made a new friend. It was not a client.
That's not a
I made a new
client.
friend. Yeah.
You become a marriage counselor, you become a kids counselor, you become I always tell my clients, if you're having a stressful day or something happened, just call me. And even if you want to scream at me, I know it's not personal, but you get it out of there. So you just it's being able to be there for people. And the business will happen.
And that's a that's a very I'm not that men don't do it, but it is a very female thing to do, is to want to help and support other women to know
Absolutely.
that
And
they've got somebody that they can rely on and connect with, and sometimes and this is one of the things the guys usually don't get. We just need to be able to say it without it being resolved. We just need to get it off our chest. So
get it
it's
on the
wonderful.
shares, absolutely. And I find that, and we actually compare notes with a few girlfriends when I said, well, our husbands are not as vocal as we are. And unfortunately, sometimes men see it as we talk too much, but we actually I'm grateful that we talk. If we don't talk, that we would be just this pressure cooker doing nothing, and then all of a sudden it would be not much more. So I'm glad that we do it.
Absolutely. My husband loves when I've gone and run some training. So a couple of days ago, I did 10 hours training day, and then and speaking all that time. And the next day, I did 5 hours of mostly speaking. And he just loves it because it means
Tied to
I
the
come inside then, and I don't need to keep talking when I get home. That's very cool. A couple of big takeaways that you really want to reinforce for women in business when they're starting out, or even just as you're working through your business, what would you suggest?
I will suggest for anybody hearing out there, first of all, don't believe that you won't be able to do it, or don't say no, before you explore all the options. And don't be afraid to just don't second guess yourself. Going back to what we discussed, your mind is your worst enemy at the time of taking risk, and just go for it. Which will take me to my second tip, that will be just surround yourself by people, positive people, and people that have that knowledge. If you want this idea that is a product that is coming out of Europe, well, I'm going to call Carolina. She might be not something that I don't know, and we will explore it together. So your network will be the best way to get you through it, to make that decision. At the end of the day, once you have that information, you may be be able to say yes or no, but that your network will give you all that answers, and don't be afraid to ask your network for us. That will bring me to the next one. That will be, do your research. Take some time. Sometimes, and I have noticed it with a lot of our clients, they think that it's a great idea, but I don't get involved until it's too late, and they already have something on the way, and when it arrives here, it won't pass customs or quarantine. So do your research, make sure that you know all the stops that you need to have before you get into that adventure. But being in business is just an amazing feeling. And again, as I said, being in business with my family, my chosen family, is even better.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And that's a great way to finish up on that, is to be in business with your chosen family, which is wonderful. And it's wonderful to have that support. Anything else you want to add, Carolina, before we wrap up?
To anybody that is out there that may be thinking of an idea or may need any assistance, just to reach out to us, and we will be, I'll be personally more than happy to walk that pathway with you.
Oh, that's very, very, very generous of you to do that. And how can people get in touch with you, particularly if they want some freight forwarded, or what's the other thing? If it's not forwarded, it's forwarded.
Freight forwarding.
Oh, it's just forwarding. Okay.
Yeah, yep. Freight forwarding, customs. Any quarantine, anything that international freight needs for other. Well, you can contact me. We are on LinkedIn. Plain to See is PLANE, the number 2, SEA International. Our website, www.plaintosee.com.au. We're on Facebook, and you can contact me personally on LinkedIn. Once you get into the Plain to See LinkedIn, and if I can ask for our listeners just to get to our LinkedIn page, like us, follow us, share. We put 3 posts a week about what we do, educational posts. We mix a little bit of humor from time to time. So if you want to giggle, just get there. We're here. We're here to assist anybody.
Excellent. Yes, I can imagine you'd have some quite fun stories of what people have tried to bring into the country or send out, or different ideas. We didn't get into that. I think that would have been some.
Oh, that would be three. That would be probably the whole day of stories.
And I'll have to go to the LinkedIn page to find that. Thank you so much, Carolina, for being my guest on the We Are Women podcast today.
Thank you, and all very much for the invitation.
You're welcome. All of the contact details will be in the show notes as well. That's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I trust that you've enjoyed the conversation and have learned things that you can apply in your life and in your business. My name is Janine Vosper. If you want to chat and figure out how you might build your personal brand, how you might be able to speak up and get confident in sales process, book a business strategy call and we can chat. It's janinevosper.com. Have a fantastic day. I look forward to you joining me on the next episode of the We Are Women podcast. Bye-bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.